tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog.
Hello, my pink ladies.
Hello. Hey,
I've got lovely ladies in pink with me tonight. We're missing Tom. I wish he was here wearing pink, too.
Oh.
But hi, After Buzzers. My name is Lindsay Wegner. We are here to recap, talk everything Supernatural. Make sure you guys are checking us out at YouTube, AfterBuzz, YouTube.com, AfterBuzz TV. Also find us on SoundCloud, iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Talk to us using the hashtag ABTV Supernatural. We can answer all your questions. You guys can talk to us. You can also find us on Twitter. You guys can find me on Twitter and all things social media at Lindsay Wegner. And tonight I'm going to be joined by Miss Katie Campbell. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell.
Wonderful. And then joining me also is Michaela Phillips. Hi, Michaela.
Hey, Lindsay.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me on social media and Twitter at Mickey_Phillips.
Perfect. All right, ladies. What did you think of the episode tonight?
Very good and very back to, I feel like the roots are Supernatural. Something that we haven't seen. Well, something that we have seen, but not for a few episodes or a few seasons, I should say, actually. So I felt like it took it back to more the roots of Supernatural. And I think it was just a great episode and I'm looking forward to next week.
I really enjoyed it. Lindsay, you brought up a good point that it's kind of like a Final Destination-y. And I just love that they've been doing that. You know, we had the Wizard of Oz. We just have all these connections to other things. And I loved that whole thing about this episode.
I like that it makes that relevant. Like, that makes me want to go back and watch Final Destination because of, you know, you see the deaths kind of happen in this fashion, the same way that we saw tonight, which we'll get into more. But I agree with you 100% that I love when they bring something back. They bring the Wizard of Oz back, or they bring a new witch in, and now we're going to get back into the coven with Rowena and everything. So I think it's a great way to make old stuff relevant again. And make people that have watched Supernatural and been around for 10 years know about that movie from years ago. And so, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. I loved it, too. I'm like, Michaela, like you said, I'm super excited for next week for Cain's return.
We have been waiting for this since, like, literally the Mark of Cain even began.
And since we talked to Cain at SupernaturalCon. So, I mean, this is way exciting to see what's going to happen next.
That was in November. So we've been waiting for this.
It's been a few months. We've been waiting. I'm sure Supernatural fans and AfterBuzzers have been waiting also. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we might have Timothy in here next week. So hopefully.
Fingers crossed, you guys, that we're going to try and get him in for next week. So we've got connections. We've got connections. You talk to your people. I'll talk to my people. We talk to his people. Hopefully, we can get him in here so that he can discuss next week's episode with us. Let's jump right in. We start in Spencer, Iowa. We see Billy and his girlfriend, Janet, hanging out, driving. They're going to go to some taco hut. And they're getting navigation from Trini, like Siri. And she's telling them where to go. And we see that it's possessed. It's taken them for a little joyride. And it tells Janet to get out of the car.
I wouldn't have gotten out of the car. I would have been like, what's happening? Why is this thing telling me this?
I mean, yeah, I like the initial thought would be like, what is going on right now? This is freaky. This is creepy. But I mean, I would probably, yeah, definitely jump out of the car.
Wait,
I mean,
what? There
was this bridge that was closed and it was telling them to go just straight down the bridge. I mean, to me, I probably would.
But then
she had to leave him. So it was like a really hard decision.
It definitely was. I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have panicked in that moment and been frozen and then gone off the bridge, because we do see Janet get out of the car and watch as the car literally takes off with Billy inside of it through the, you know, closed
bridge.
Construction sign into the water, perishing to his
demise.
There were a lot of moments in this episode where I was like,
Yeah, mm-hmm. You are jumpy McJumperstein today. Usually that's me.
I couldn't watch half these deaths for these kids. Like, yeah.
There was three in total, and there was nearly going to be a fourth. So until Sam and Dean stepped in.
Yeah, it was definitely a good, a bit gory episode. But that once again, paying homage to Final Destination, all the deaths that you see in that movie are crazy.
Yeah, so hard to watch.
I was expecting a little bit of craziness then. So we come back to Sam and Dean then, and once again, Sam has now contacted Cass. He knows that he's riverboat gambling, because why wouldn't he be?
That's the bad news.
But he's trying to find the mark, and they decide to take this little assignment and head to Kasem College to go find Janet, see what they can find out about this situation. They don't know if it's a ghost. They think it might be a ghost. Talk to Janet and find out that Billy had a little bit of trouble with his brother, Joey, who died in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And so they're wondering, maybe is this what's possessing them? Did you guys think that it was Joey, or no. Did you guess it was, both of you knew it wasn't?
I just didn't think it was going to be that easy.
Yeah. I completely agree with Katie.
And for some reason, it never ended up being a girl. You know, it ended up being a guy, but I thought it was a girl because of the Trini voice. I think that maybe, like, clouded my mind, but mm-hmm. I'm like, no, this has to be a girl.
Yeah. I feel like they like to do that, too, like, kind of throw you off, make you think it's something else. And that's mm-hmm. cool. It makes you more excited when you find out who it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I didn't think that it was Billy either. I thought Joey either. I thought that they brushed over it too quickly to really believe that that was going to, they want to try and throw us off, but it wasn't going to end up being that. Mm-hmm. So they find the truck, they burn it in case it does have something to do with this truck mm-hmm. that Joey died in. Mm-hmm. And then we see two sorority sisters. We see Delilah and Julie mm-hmm. hanging out. Delilah's going to go study. Julie doesn't need to study because she's sleeping with her TA. Didn't we all know one of those in college? So she, being a typical college girl, we see all the hashtag blessed.
Oh, hashtag curious. Everything.
Hashtag selfie. Confused. We see all the hashtags. And she's just being a typical college girl. And she gets this chat request from Princess Elsa. Mm-hmm. And she basically knows something's up. First thoughts on that right there. What did you think?
When the chat started, I was like, this is obviously something's going mm-hmm. wrong in this room tonight, because that's what's going to happen. But with the chat, when he said, or Princess Elsa, whoever it was, said 8:10, I was like, ooh, that's a date. Like, something happened mm-hmm. August 10th. She did something. She's trying to keep it a secret. That was my initial thought about it.
Yeah, I agree with Katie, what you're saying about when it first came up. You're like, oh, like, something's going to happen. It was definitely leading us that way. And when it first popped up, if I'm being completely honest, my initial thought was, I was like, nice pun intended with the Princess Elsa. I was like, is this meant to be, like, Frozen? I'm like, I just thought it was really funny. And I like how Supernatural always incorporates stuff like that. And especially, like, even with the hashtags, it's something that everyone can relate to who uses social media. And it makes it more funny. But speaking about the message, I agree. I was like, what is 8:10? I was like, is it something that happened? A date of something? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was thought circling.
I agree with you. I like, Michaela, that they always create something that we can relate to mm-hmm. and that, you know, people watching can relate to. Even the Elsa thing. I think everybody knows
Multiple
generations. You're right. If it's parents that have kids mm-hmm. or our generation yeah. or even the young ones. My initial thought was because they were talking about studying and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that it actually related to SATs. I was trying to figure out how.
I remember you said that.
Because I know an SAT score of 810 is pretty bad. But then that would explain why she was sleeping with her TA and why she was doing so well in school, because she was getting help. Obviously did not relate to that. I was wrong. And we, of course, once again, we see Julie's demise, strangulation by power cord.
Oh my gosh. That was brutal. Mm.
That's like a creepy death.
Yeah.
It was funny because I wasn't expecting the strangling. I think, Katie, you made a comment. You're like, oh, I completely kind of saw that. And I was like, I actually thought it would electrocute her. I was mm-hmm. like, that's another way. So either way, it was a painful kind of quick death.
That's what I was thinking too. I was thinking it was going to, like, poke her and, like, you know, like the little cigarette lighter. And it was going to be, like, hot and somehow then, mm-hmm. yeah, electrocute her.
Oh, I thought that thing was going to wrap around her. By the way, you knew it. Lingering behind her, like this side and then this side.
All
and
just, it was very like a snake. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Creepy. Creepy, creepy, creepy. So we find out then Sam and Dean do talk to Delilah, who says that the connection between Billy was that he was the president of Sigma Theta Delta, which is STD.
Which was the biggest frat on campus. Mm-hmm.
So everybody knew who he was. So we now know they're connected. We know Delilah is Julie's roommate. So we're slowly figuring out how are we putting this puzzle together. Sam and Dean head off to the cafeteria.
With a whole tray of food Dean had. Whole tray.
Looked good.
What were you going to say, Katie?
I just had to say that when she mentioned that Julie knew Billy, and then they said, does she know Joey, Billy's brother? And then Delilah was like, oh, I didn't know he had mm-hmm. a brother. I thought, okay, if Joey was the one doing it, this would be the way to throw it in. Like, mm-hmm. maybe something happened with Joey and Julie dating mm-hmm. or, you know, something in that realm.
In the past, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it completely kind of ruled him out at that point.
Yeah. So, and after that, he wasn't brought up again mm-hmm. after that point. But we found out their connection. We get to the cafeteria. Once again, there were a couple points throughout this episode where Sam was showing us that Dean is not tech savvy whatsoever. He has no idea what Trini is. He doesn't know that the internet saves everything. And I thought there was going to be a moment where, like, he was going to bring up something like, oh, I was looking at stuff the other day and...
I feel like that said that in his face. He didn't even need to say it.
It was a really great moment. I thought it was really, really funny. So we find out then we get to the chat that she had, that Miss Julie had closed out. We come to find out that it actually was a third grader's mm-hmm. chat name or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was asleep. So we can't now connect the chat to the death, but we know somehow it's connected. They start looking up addresses. They come mm-hmm. up with this 810 address. And this mm-hmm. woman is walking out, and she goes to grab flowers mm-hmm. from an accident site. They're alive, and as Sam and Dean approach her and talk to her, she's like, I just try and get rid of these flowers. It's a constant reminder, even though they're alive. Mm-hmm. And it's always this redheaded girl with a sorority on her, you know, somewhere on her.
What she's wearing.
So, redhead, do we guess right away? Delilah. Mm-hmm. Of course. So... we head back. Oh, and she says that her husband was killed in a car accident.
And they were just newlyweds, and they didn't even make it to their first year anniversary.
He was 29. Very young. And he was a teacher. Mm-hmm. So this was obviously devastating for her. Mm-hmm. And so we go back to Delilah, who's hanging out with Kyle, who's on Sexter, which is like Tinder.
And it's like those apps.
He was a part of... this because he's telling her to keep it quiet.
She wanted to come clean at this point. She thought mm-hmm. it was karma.
And she that did. Kind of, if she had probably come out at that stage, maybe it wouldn't have gone as far as it did, but then it wouldn't be an episode. But in reality speaking, yeah, it's probably she should have.
Yeah, well, I think Andrew was on like a path of revenge where he couldn't go back. Even if she did come out at that mm-hmm. point, he would have held it against her that she didn't, like, you know, actually admit to it when it happened.
Mm-hmm. And we go on to see, I don't want to spoil anything yet, but we do go on to see that the it didn't make accident. A difference. Mm-hmm. And it was his wife who made the difference.
Mm-hmm. So she leaves. She still doesn't know what to do, whether to call Sam or Dean yet.
And he said that the cops were the least of her problem. He was crazy. He was basically threatening her if she did say anything.
He's not a good person. Well, we know then that he's going to bite it as well. And he gets a little message from someone saying, you know, she's coming over to mm-hmm. STD and all that stuff. And he checks the door because someone knocks and there's nobody there. So he closes the door. We've heard music playing the whole time. And then we get this amplified, crazy music. Mm. And Katie didn't like this.
No, and before that, there was the phone call that he received. And he was like, oh, like, hey, whatever. And it actually said on the closed captioning we had on the screen, mm-hmm. it said, like, demonic voice. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we were like, oh.
Oh, we know. And we saw the breath again. Then. The breath mm-hmm. connected everyone, too, because there was cold air mm-hmm. coming from everyone. And we see his head, basically.
Turn to jelly. I don't usually turn away in this show, but I did for this moment.
Yeah, really? You did. You're like, it's too much to watch.
And I don't usually do that. But... the blood coming out of his eyes, and his ears, his nose, like...
I don't... Can that really happen?
I think so.
I think you can, yeah. If something's, like, super loud, you can...
I mean, you know, you can pop an eardrum and stuff. Mm. They always say it's listening to...
Well, the glass also shattered in as well at one point. What I thought was interesting is that the first death for Billy... I was going to say Joey. For Billy was in the car. But it was done through Wi-Fi, which we find out that's how he's connecting all the deaths. But the other two, an attempted third or fourth, was with Delilah, was all in, like, a closed room. I just thought it was, like, different how one was outdoors and all the others were, like, secluded.
Yeah, they were all, yeah, they were all in...
Like, the doors were locked, they couldn't get out, and I just
thought that was interesting. Well, he got locked in the truck, too. It was still an enclosed space, but just a small space. But I like that they changed that up, and they didn't make everything completely the same.
So it was hard for us to figure out how he was actually traveling.
Yeah. So we then, Delilah comes clean, and she tells him what happened. And we see the whole accident kind of happen. They're all on social media. Delilah and Julie are in the backseat taking selfies. The boys are on their Twitter or whatnot.
While driving. Reminder, do not tweet text or drive.
Don't do it. And don't talk on your cell phone either.
Yeah, just be safe.
Bluetooth. Bluetooth. Everything. So we see this accident happen. And it actually wasn't so bad. He was still, I was like, wait, he can't die from, like, the impact. I mean, it was bad, but, like, it wasn't, like, his airbag deployed. Yeah. But then we see why he dies, because
the electricity,
the wires drop, and the car starts on fire. Mm-hmm. And Delilah's sitting in the back seat saying, we have to help. Call 911. We have to help. And Joey, who's driving, just... Or Billy.
Billy.
Now I'm calling him Joey. Billy, who's driving, just drives away.
Because he has a DUI, and he can't be caught doing this. This is what ran through my head at this moment. The cops, this happened 9 months ago. Why? The cops have had to have seen skid marks from both cars. But the report just was talking about how this teacher's car went into a light pole, died on impact and everything. Like, why wasn't that investigated? And why didn't it trigger in the wife's head, like, there's somebody coming and giving flowers? Like, I mean, maybe she thought, oh, is this a student since he was a teacher? But, like, I just thought that should have been questioned. And then also, I mean, obviously Sam and Dean put the puzzle together, but... The cops were questioning, like, what's the connection between all of these kids? They're all friends. Why are they all dying?
Well, if I can address what you said, Katie, with the investigation for the car, with skid marks and such, they had driven off. So they hadn't actually, like, collided. There wasn't probably any...
Damage to the truck.
Yeah, and there wasn't any security or footage from anywhere nearby. So normally I feel like in that kind of scenario, they would pull stuff from that or see what they can do. So I think... Without having anything tangible, like, or any other knowing whose car it was, how would they figure that out?
But they both swerved. You know what I mean? So when you land on the brakes and you swerve, you're going to make skid marks.
There's still going to be marks.
But it's not leaving any evidence of the car or the vehicle that was there.
But if I was the wife, I would go, my husband doesn't drink and drive, and he ran into a light pole. What came into the way to make him do this? I would want to investigate it further to find out why that happened. Now, they said the body was burned beyond recognition and stuff, so they couldn't actually do what it seemed like they could do any tests. I know you can always do teeth tests, but they knew it was him. But I guess they didn't suspect foul play. I would be one with you to say, we need to find out what happened here, because this is just too random to happen.
I agree. Like, I think as a loved one and as his wife, like, for sure, you want to know what's happened. Like, you want that closure as well. And knowing that he's not someone who would be that irresponsible to just drive, like, recklessly. But you can't, like, investigate something that where there isn't too much then to investigate with no footage or no trackage of a car. So that would be really difficult for her. And that's why I think it's good that then he was reaching out to her through the internet. And she at first was, like, hesitant and was like, how does this person know this? It's someone just being, like, crazy and, like, just playing on, like, my hurt. And he knew stuff that no one else knew, and she then believed that it was him.
Yeah, that broke my heart for her.
Because it's like Ghost.
She can't say, you know, goodbye. She doesn't want to say goodbye. But then when she realized he was different, she knows he's on some kind of a path of revenge.
He was focused on the revenge at that point. Yeah. So we know that this has happened now. We know why these deaths are happening. We've got to connect how this is happening. So... Dean stays with Delilah. They make the salt circles to try and stop because they know it's a ghost and they have to get rid of the object in order to get rid of the ghost. So they know they just have to figure it out. So Dean stays with Delilah. Mm-hmm. Sam goes out to try and figure out what's happening here, realizes that it's all wireless. Mm-hmm. It's connected by this wireless system that everything from the car, from the navigation mm-hmm. app to the wireless, to the cord that wrapped around her neck and the computer and the laptop mm-hmm. to the wireless speaker. So now everything's connected. So he's getting through everything connected and he goes up to talk to Mrs. Silver, Corey, and she says that, yeah, he's been reaching out to her mm-hmm. and she does figure out that it's her husband because he knows all this information about her. What do you do if that's your husband? And you know these deaths have started happening. Mm-hmm. Or wait, you don't know the deaths have started happening yet. What do you do if this is your husband? Mm-hmm. How long do you play this? I mean, does that keep you holding on for forever?
Well, I would have kept playing. I just can't. I would have kept answering him and talking to him just because I just felt really sad for her and for that mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm. I honestly have no idea what I would probably do in that situation. I'm far from that at my age now. But she did say, and she was like, I knew what he was doing. And she said there was a change in how he was connecting with her or speaking to her through the internet. And he started disappearing and then coming back and writing to her. And she knew he was on that revenge path. And she did say that once she saw the killings of these college students happening, she was like, this has kind of gone too far, or whatever it was she said. I'm not going to quote word for word, but she knew, she was like, he's just for revenge. Mm-hmm. And I just, she didn't want to let him go. That's basically
she wasn't what ready kept her to hanging let him on go yet. And yeah. I can't imagine, especially like she knew she hadn't done anything wrong and he wasn't really guilty of anything of this car accident. So you do want to hold on as long as you can. But once you find out this revenge is going on, I think then you know you have to mm-hmm. address it in some way. And so I loved the moments between Delilah and Dean when he was talking about you can't bury these things. You have to let them out and stuff. We're getting back to the Mark of Cain, which is coming in next episode in episode 14. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing him reveal his softer side in the past few episodes and realizing how bad this mark can be and how he's trying to literally overcome it. I love that feeling. Mm-hmm. Ladies, what do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I agree with you. And I felt it even more so, too, when he was yelling at Andrew, when he was trying to tell him, he's like, blood fuels the rage. And that speech that he was giving to Andrew, I was like, oh my gosh. Because Dean knows this, okay? Mm-hmm. He's giving you his experience. And this guy may not know that. But, you know, I just thought that was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a great moment.
Literally, yeah. I have nothing to say. Like, Katie just took the words out of my mouth. I thought the exact same. I was like, Dean is speaking from a place that he knows. And I really like that because at the same time, it's what he knows. But it's also still currently what he's going through in the storyline with the Mark of Cain. And mm-hmm. like you said, we'll get probably more towards that at the end of his discussion with Sam. But I definitely thought the exact same thing. And I liked that he was speaking from experience and not just like trying to fool or trying to kid Andrew just to keep Delilah safe.
And then through his conversation with Delilah, he found out that she did feel guilty about it and she did want to mm-hmm. do something, even though she has been trying to probably bury this thought, even though she was the one bringing flowers. Mm-hmm. It's still something that she needed to get out and get off. Mm-hmm. So we find out that Andrew has now possessed in the, you know, the sorority house, mm-hmm. every phone, every computer, every single screen. So they start smashing everything and they realize they have to get to the basement in order to get away from anything signal. With Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And so we do talk about how Corey and Sam are talking that she's like, yeah, she realized that once she realized Andrew was out for revenge, she knew something was wrong and it had connection to these kids' deaths. And Andrew was going to kill Delilah because this was the final one mm-hmm. to his death. We don't know mm-hmm. what would have happened if he killed her. Would he have gone back to being normal or not?
Mm-hmm. But that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing to look at. If you know that you're going to, do you allow your dead husband to go and take the lives of four people that caused his death and then come back, and are you okay with that?
Well, I kind of think that it wouldn't just end there, their revenge. We see like anything, like I think a lot of genres or any TV shows we watch where people are after revenge or to avenge something, it never quite ends with, like, they're never quite satisfied even when they're done with mm-hmm. what they thought would make them happy. So I kind of think it wouldn't sacrifice, like, it wouldn't make him happy enough.
Mm-hmm. It would open up a door to another, he would just keep going.
It would just keep mm-hmm. going, yeah.
It would plummet into something, snowball mm-hmm. into something more.
Yeah.
I agree with you, and I think that her telling Sam what was going on so that they could stop this mm-hmm. was the best thing possible. So there's a phone ringing in the basement, and Andrew just, like, pops in mm-hmm. via, like, wireless, looking all crazy, throws Dean to the side and starts choking Delilah. And luckily, Dean gets up and stops him. And then he goes to, like, choke and kill Dean. Mm-hmm. And Corey calls and tells him to stop. Mm. He's got to stop. And then, and Dean is trying to tell him, as you ladies had said, that this is all, he feels the rage, you need to move on, and that's the only thing that'll give you peace. Mm-hmm. God, oh, those
it
moments.
It was well-worded.
Mm-hmm. Especially well-worded coming from Dean in the situation he is with the Michael Caine. Very good.
It's crazy because we were seeing Demon Dean and Dean who wanted to kill people and fight people and blood and lots of, like, massive killings. And now we're just seeing this totally different side of him, and I love it.
He's controlling it.
Yeah, we're seeing hero Dean, like, normal Dean, and I liked that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was such a nice change to see him saving someone rather than killing someone.
And I love, the brothers just need each other. He texts Sam 911, and Sam just knows that he has mm-hmm. to do something. And
he's back.
He saved his life.
Mm-hmm. Touching on that subject, what I love, Katie, about that also is the fact that Dean just said 911, like, three little numbers, one huge meaning, but Sam knew exactly, like, to have his wife call him. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have been like, oh, I better get there, but they're, like, that in tune with each other as brothers and been through so much and have that bond. He just knew. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was a really, really great moment, and a great moment for her to say her final goodbye to him mm-hmm. and say, I'm okay, I can, ooh, yeah, I know, mm-hmm. I can let you go now. And as soon as she said goodbye, he dissipated mm-hmm. and his revenge was over, and mm-hmm. he knew it was time to let go too and not be seeking this out. And I think the great closure for this situation was because the wife did get some extra time with him, and that is important, I think, and she got closure. And then she also got closure from Delilah, who went to apologize to her, mm-hmm. and I think we needed to see that as well, because she obviously was dropping the flowers off and felt bad, and now she can kind of have closure and move on, knowing mm-hmm. that
yeah. they can both make peace with it and make it right.
Exactly. So, last moments with Dean and Sam. Mm-hmm. Ladies, all right. Go ahead.
This was my favorite scene of the entire episode. I thought it was such a beautiful moment that Dean was saying, like, you know, Sam's like, you're giving up. And Dean's like, I'm not giving up. He's literally finding peace with it and moving on. Mm-hmm. And he said peace is helping people. Mm-hmm. And he's going to keep working cases, and all he wants to do, you know, is help people. And that's his peace. And I just thought that was such a beautiful moment. But in my head, I was thinking, okay, you know what? They're going to agree with this, and they're going to try to move on and just live with it, and Dean's going to try to keep it under control, and people are going to come in, Kane, Crowley with the blade. Like, I knew that was going to happen. And they're going to disrupt that and be like, no, we're going to figure out a solution, or it's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of, like, we did see Dean say that, and I think going now into next week's episode, like, for me personally, I've kept thinking, leading up to this episode 14 and Kane's return, I've been thinking, oh, it's totally going to be something mutual. It's going to be Kane coming back and asking for what he asked Dean for originally, that when I come back, you have to kill me with the blade. And now we're kind of seeing Dean's, like, somewhat accepting it. He's like, I'm going to live with it. I'm going to help people. And Sam thinks he's giving up. But I think now with Kane's return, it's completely something different. And I think we might be a little thrown or not be expecting what we're going to see. Yeah, I definitely think that.
Any last-minute thoughts on the conversation with Dean and Sam, aside from it just being a wonderful brotherly moment and Dean finally finding some peace and knowing to tell Cass to stop worrying about finding a cure? He's okay. He's accepting it, and he's going to move on and live with it. And do we think this is something that he can sustain, even if Kane wasn't about to come back? Do we think that Dean could sustain with the mark of Kane, mm-hmm. but in this even keel balanced area he's been in?
And that Kane wasn't coming back and Crowley in the blade. You know, that's an interesting question because Dean does say he's going to fight it till he can't anymore. When all said and done, he'll go down mm-hmm. swinging. So it's like in the back of his mind, he kind of thinks one day it might not turn in my favor and it might overcome me. But he's trying to make peace with that. Right now, it's not. And he's mm-hmm. able to control it a little bit somewhat, you know. We've seen that. But it's interesting because I think in his mind, he thinks if he was trying to live like this and, you know, all those outside things weren't coming in, it still someday would take over him.
I would normally just say undoubtedly, yeah, Dean can handle it. I mean, look how much they've gone through, these brothers, and they always come out winning, you know, through purgatory, through hell, everything. So normally I would be inclined to say, yeah, Dean can totally go through it and he has the willpower and the strength to do it. But seeing that he hasn't even been able to deal with it to this extent already, and he's had it for a little bit already, and he just gives into it, or it's too strong, or he's killed people, I would say no. I don't think he would be able to continue to live with it. And I think that's why Cain coming next week is going to be something pretty monumental to the mark. And I think it's going to be something that we're not going to expect. I think, like, for me anyway, because I've been expecting, like I just said, it to be something mutual, and I think it's going to be quite surprising to see what happens.
Mm. I think that there's an even situation where I think Dean can sustain being like this for a little while longer, but it's not going to last, because eventually it's going to have to feed off of something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Cain has been living with the mark for a long time. So, and we don't know what he was doing during all this is going on. We're going to find out a little bit more next week. So let's get into our predictions for next week.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
We have the return of three C's, Cass, Crowley, and Cain. Woo-hoo. Like triple C's.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited. Okay, who would like to go first for predictions? Kayla?
I think I only just have the one. So I definitely think going into next week's episode with the return of the three C's, I'll use that. I think that, with the promo they showed for Cain, he was holding the first blade. And he was like, what did he say? He was like, it's been a while, or it's good to be back. Oh, I really don't remember now what he said. I wish one of you, I didn't write it down. I don't know if you guys did. But what he said in the promo, I was kind of like, does he want like full reign back on the mark? Can he take the mark back from Dean and have like the full mark back? And he might want to be one with the blade again. That's what I'm thinking. Just the way the promo was shot, it kind of looks inclined that way. So I think Cain's return might be that he'll take over it all, and he might go back to how he was.
I think he said it's been too long. And I was kind of curious as to what that exactly meant, because back then when Dean did take the mark, we saw him say, you know, I'm going to come for you someday, and I want you to kill me. So Dean was actually going at him in these previews, and I was like, why, you know, isn't he allowing him to kill him? I guess Cain changed his mind. I don't understand what's happening there.
Yeah, it's exactly my thought. Like, I've been saying, predicting that was going to happen, since that's what we've been told and what we've seen. And now, like, I'm kind of feel like it might be something different, or they could just be teasing us with, like, it out of, like, segment.
The out of order, like we saw with Charlie a couple weeks ago, where we thought there was this major fight and it really wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, Crazy Charlie, or what was it? Demon Charlie?
Dark Charlie.
The Return of the Three C's. Excited for Cass. We haven't seen Cass for weeks. Mm-hmm. Excited to see Cass back. Excited to see Crowley back. Mm-hmm. We know that maybe there'll be a little bit of appearance by Rowena then, since he's going to be bringing the blade back. And we know that Rowena wants to be a part of this whole Sam and Dean process. And then we get Cain back. Mm-hmm. And from what I thought, I was going to assume that Dean was not going to be wanting Cain to be around, and he wants to just live without it and let it go and just not. But I think once Cain gets there and once the blade gets close to him again, back on.
Yeah.
Fueled again.
Yeah.
Ready to go. I think it's just going to be, it'll be too easy or it'll be too hard to not just flip right into that right away and go for it.
Yeah.
All in.
So if that does happen, there could be a potential Rowena and Cain kind of alliance or partnership there.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool.
I don't know if Rowena will make it back to Sam and Dean, but I like that idea of Cain and kind of Rowena. That'd be an interesting.
Yeah, even if it's for like one or two episodes, I think that would be kind of really cool to bring into this season.
That'd be really neat. I'd like that. We've got big episode next week. Hopefully we can get Timothy in here to talk to us, because that would be awesome, especially with his return next week. As you saw, Tom was not with us tonight. We miss you, Tom. We wish you could have been here with us. But you can talk to us about anything supernatural at hashtag ABTVSupernatural. And you can find all of us on the social media things. So, Michaela, let the good people know where they can find you.
Okay, Supernatural fans and Afterbuzzers, you guys can find me on Twitter at Mickey_Phillips, or on Instagram at Michaela Phillips. And tune in Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and have a really cool spotlight on interview with Nate Green. So check it out.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You can find me on Twitter at KDEE Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell, and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
And you guys can find me on all things social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. You can find AfterBuzz on YouTube.com/AfterBuzz, on Twitter, on Facebook, SoundCloud, iTunes, everywhere. Tweet us with the hashtag ABTVSupernatural so we can talk to you. Let us know what you think about the episode. Let us know what you think about the return of the three C's. And have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.